Thank you. This is the Registration Abuse Policy Working Group meeting for May 24th, 2010. This is Greg Aaron, and Marika is driving today, so she's taking in the call from the road. Why don't we begin with roll call, please?
With pleasure. Good morning. Good afternoon to everyone. On today's call, we have Greg Aaron, Basil Shah, Mike O'Connor, Barry Cobb, James Bladel, Fred Fellman, Rod Rasmussen, Martin Sutton. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Marika Koning, myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and I don't have apologies noted for today's call. Thank you. Over to you, Greg.
Thank you, Gisela. Okay. Well, first order of business is, did everyone get the invitation to the last poll? Did anyone not see that? Okay, that's open. Marika says that some people have filled it out, but not all. So a friendly reminder to do that, preferably today, if at all possible. And then Marika will compile the results and post those up to the list. So again, if at all possible, do it today. It is open through tomorrow, though. What we'll do today is go through the various edits to the report. We had added in all the language we worked on in last week's call, and then there have been some additional submissions. So Marika put up a draft quite recently, and we're going to look at that today. And we'll go through the changes. So if you've got a red line up on the screen, we'll go to that. And the first is on the bottom of page 4. And Barry added a comment. The part that Barry's highlighted is the bit about sometimes whether it's pre-creation or creation or post-creation is sometimes not applicable or useful when considering whether the abuse is in scope for policy making or not. Barry's comment was, if these distinctions are not applicable, then why do we make the distinction between registration versus use? The statement, as it currently says, is sometimes not applicable. Barry, do you want to tell us? This has been in the report for a long time. So, what's the sticking point for you?
It seems to conflict with what we've done as a working group. As we identified each abuse, then we went through it and categorized them as pre-registration, registration, use, and I forgot the other category. Maybe there's only three. But so it's really not contention. I'm just kind of making the point that it conflicts with what we actually did. And that's the reason why I put the comment there.
How does it conflict with what we did exactly?
Well, because it says that making these distinctions are sometimes not applicable or useful when considering if an abuse is in scope for policy making, but it is applicable because we did that.
What we did is we decided whether it was a registration issue or not. In some cases, we decided that a topic was not a registration issue, and so we discarded it as not being relevant. So I'm still wrestling with what you mentioned.
It's not that important. We say that it's not applicable for making these distinctions, but we did make these distinctions when we identified the varying abuses. So it's not critical. We can move on.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Barry. Okay. The next edit was at the top of page.
Greg?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, this is James. I was just going to add that I see Barry's point with this, is that it is somewhat of a contradictory statement. And as the person or the interest group that was on the minority side of deciding the use versus abuse issues, I think that this was probably some compromised language that, you know, doesn't fit with a lot of our recommendations of some of the different categories. And I think I see what Barry's getting at.
Okay. Help me understand where the conflict exists so we can see if we need to tweak any language. We have, like, an example, maybe?
I was just struggling to come up with one of those. But, you know, looking at it from the perspective that that there is no, in all cases, there is no scope whatsoever for ICANN in non-registration issues, I think that this was more of a compromise approach that says that there are, you know, some cases where registration abuse can occur throughout the life cycle. And I think that, you know, we use some qualifying terms here, like sometimes not applicable or useful. And I think that that was offered to kind of throw a blanket around all the different viewpoints on this issue. And now that we have arrived at that and we're going back and taking a look at this compromise language, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't fit well now. It didn't fit well probably when we came up with it, but I think that it's what we have to try and bridge a lot of different opinions on this point.
I think I remember how this came about. What we did is we came up with our laundry list of issues, you know, cyber squatting and gripe sites and all those things. And then we tried to fit them into those three categories, and we figured out that that just didn't work very well because that, when it happened, wasn't so much the issue, right? I think that's how it came about.
So,
as you say, in some ways it's an artifact.
Right.
So, I mean, what do we do? What do we do with it?
Well, one approach would be maybe Barry and I could go off and come up with something different for that bullet point that kind of describes everything we've discussed here, that that continues to preserve its relevance in the final report. I don't know. I just volunteered you, Barry. I don't know if that's fair, but
that's fair. I brought up the comment. I mean, I guess if I were to offer up just a quick suggestion, I don't know about the exact language, but just to make it more clear that we did go down that road, but then we didn't, and we went with just, is it registration or use? Again, it was just confusing to me. I'm not really trying to discount the statement or anything, but it just kind of seemed a little bit contradictory. So,
well, I guess an example would be if you create a domain name that's mygoogle.com, there might be a potential cyber squatting issue there, right? That's a domain creation issue, but it also involves a registration issue potentially because it could be cyber squatting, right? Let's just say you create a domain name made of random letters and numbers. That's happening at the time of creation but does not involve cyber squatting issues, right? So, yeah, it's the use versus whatever. I am a little reticent to go off and I would like you guys to work on some language right now, actually. I'm just reticent to string this out further when we're trying to close the report.
Right.
So do you guys want to try to take a crack at it while we continue?
Yeah, I can do that. Sure.
All right. Okay. Let's move on. Top of page 6, malicious uses of domain names. It looks like Faisal changed learning done in Fastlux working group to information gleaned in. I was hoping that some learning had been done in that group, having been there through it.
I wasn't sure exactly what that meant. Learning done, I don't think it's proper English, but maybe I grew up in Puerto Rico, so maybe I just don't know.
it is grammatically correct. I can say that. Not a biggie though. So anyway, moving on, page 8, we've got a note that the table, this is the summary table of recommendations, and we have a note that it's summary only and that people should look in the body of the report for the exact language, and Barry says we should make this stand out. So we'll work with Marika to see what we can do about that.
Yeah, Greg, my point here was to make sure that the reader catches that bullet, because as I alluded to in my email when I'd sent this out, I read through some of the summary recommendations, and from my perspective, I kind of felt like I got confused about some of the content of those recommendations, and I had offered up the suggestion that maybe we even simplify the summary even more than what we have here so that we force the reader to go down through the contents of the document. I mean, I understand when some people don't have time to read the entire document, thus the necessity for an executive summary, but I having read through this again and in its entirety, I really think it's important that we try to force the readers to go through the details of each section, and that would really illuminate why we came up with the recommendations that we did. So, again, I just kind of felt that some parts of the summary tables were could lead to confusion, and if the reader just reads the summary, they may get the wrong takeaway about some of the efforts here.
Yeah, we do want to have people go into the details because some of these are nuanced and so on. Marika had suggested that we really did need a summary here, but maybe what we can do is in each one of these, we'll put in a note saying, please see page X for full recommendation and back and so on. So that'll be a pointer into the body of the report to the reader. How about that? Those cross references, I think, could really help. And we'll make those prominent for each recommendation. How about that?
Oh, sounds good.
Okay. All right. So anyway, we have the recommendations, summaries, and the next edits of substance are in the scope section. Okay. So let's go to section 4.2, which is on page 20, and Barry has a comment here. Now, Barry's comment was, right now the text says registration issues are related to core domain name related activities. And Barry's suggestion was remove the word issues. Now, the reason why the word issues there is when people in the community often see the word registration, they take that sometimes to mean a domain creation. And what we're trying to emphasize here is that we're talking about a sphere of activities, not a particular kind of transaction or what have you. So I think that word is actually very helpful. And then later, on, I think on the next page, we say know, registration is not synonymous with a domain create. So, Ken, Barry, are you okay? I think it's a useful word.
This is Barry. What about the registration as a phase of the domain name lifecycle or the scope of registration? Again, when I read the word issues and then I read through that bulleted list, I don't see any issues about registration. I see the scope of registration. And so when I read the 4.2 definitions of registration and use, again, it's just kind of a confusion thing on my part, but if anybody else sees where I'm going, fine, but if not, then we can move on.
Issue as a noun can refer to two things. One, it can be a topic, or it can be a problem. Are you taking it one way versus the other?
Yeah, I guess my interpretation, I'm more inclined to take it as a problem as opposed to a noun. But that's just my read on it.
Actually, I think it might work either, no matter how you take it, I think it might work either way.
That's fine. We can move on.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right, so then on the next page, page 21.
Greg, yeah. This is Faisal. In my email, I think we kind of skipped over this, or maybe we didn't. In the recommendations for the gripe sites, I had separated into three recommendations. Are we going to get to that later, or are we going to?
Yeah, let's tackle that one when we get to the gripe site section of the paper.
No problem.
Yeah, please bring that up as we scroll down through that. Okay, so anyway, the next edit is on the next page, page 21, and Barry put in a comment, which is referring back to the
it's a repeat
pre-domain creation thing there. So we'll let Barry and James work on the language. Okay, and then Barry has another note, which is number 6. The text reads as follows. In contrast, domain name use issues concern whether a registrant does with his or her domain after the domain is created. The purpose the registrant puts the domain to and or the services the registrant operates on it. These use issues are often independent of or do not involve any registration issues. Okay, so Barry, can you explain your comments?
Greg, the main point for this one is, first and foremost, was the use of the word issues. I'll move past that one. The last sentence of this paragraph talks about the distinction, and we can move on because there's a couple of paragraphs that I have appended towards the end that kind of discusses the counterpoint to that.
Okay. All right, let's keep scrolling down then to page 25. Okay, and we have that first sentence. And it says the RAP therefore approached each proposed abuse on its list by determining what registration issue exists, if any, and considering if or how it had any inherent relation to a domain name or registration process. And what this is referring to is we looked at some issues like pay-per-click advertising and things, and we determined that there was not a registration issue involved, and so we kind of had those, we looked at it and we put it aside.
Right. Greg, this is Barry. We can cancel this one if we're going to restructure some of those previous statements that kind of denoted the conflicting. I was just using this as a reference point to this kind of shows what we really did within the working group.
Right. Okay. Now, then Barry has added some text after that. Okay, so Barry, would you like to speak to the additions on page 25?
Yes, it's Barry. Thank you, Greg. Basically, you know, there are a few of us within the working group that feel there is no distinction between registration abuse and use abuse. And having talked with a couple on the BC, I just wanted to make sure that we brought in delineation that, you know, that we still think that there is no distinction, and that furthermore, I think that I wanted to draw a language with the note that we in the working group all pretty much agreed that we're not going to get it solved here, and so that was the idea of the note section that, and I just put unanimous consensus there. That's not accurate because we haven't really polled on this. But the intent, again, was that, you know, I wanted to draw attention to the fact that there's pretty big disagreement about the scope issue, and that, you know, we need to draw attention to the GNSO, that they need to figure out a way to handle this.
Okay. I have a question. The text says distinctions between registration and use. But then on just a moment ago, you said there is no difference between registration abuse and use abuse. Aren't those two different things?
I'm sorry. Yes, pointing that out, I should put abuses after those words in the first sentence.
All right. Okay. Let's see. No distinction. I think what we're going to have to do is work on this text a little bit to make it more clear that it is a minority opinion. Now, also, what we've done is, well, let me put it this way. Haven't we agreed that that the uses of domain names are different? Registration issues and use issues can be teased apart. That was something we all agreed to in the working group.
There are distinctions in the life cycle, yes.
Well, for instance, if you're using a domain for FTP, that is not a registration use. That is not a registration issue, is it?
If you're asking me, I don't believe so, no.
Right. That would just be a pure use. The issue is when the uses intersect with registration issues. An example being UDRP, where the string itself is a problem if it's infringing upon a trademark, right? So what we have to be clear of here is we're saying that there are differences between registration issues and use issues. But what you're saying is if there's an abuse on a domain name or through or using a domain name, ICANN can regulate it and make binding policy on it. Is that the core?
This is Barry. I'm keying off of the text that I have there in bold, which is a phrase offered up by Mike Rodenbaugh, and which to me again points to the heart of the debate. And I think we're starting to venture down the road of the debate again when we've already agreed that we're not going to solve it here.
I am
open to modifying this so that it shows that, yes, this is a minority statement, and that, okay. Again, we're not going to solve it here.
Yeah, I'm not trying to open the debate again because we've had it many, many times. I'm just trying to point the reader to which issue specifically we're talking about here. The addition of the word abuse in the first sentence, registration abuse and use abuse helps. Now, I don't think the sentence about UDRP is necessarily accurate. It says, UDRP is one of the most prevalent examples where ICANN policy scope ventures into the realm of domain use.
Excuse me, Greg, can you tell me what section you're reading from? Because I'm having trouble finding this text.
It's on page 25. If you look down in the footer, it says page 25. In the middle of the page. And
the footer doesn't show up on the Adobe Connect. I was having
a question. Oh, okay. I was looking in I pulled up the Word version. So let's scroll down. What you need to do is find Barry's comments. It's comment number 7. It says BAC7.
In the Word document or in the window?
Actually, it shows up differently in Adobe Connect.
So
if we just versus the Word version I have on my desktop. Okay, so let's see.
Version 24, version that was posted on the wiki.
Okay. In your copy on the screen, it would be page 24. Look in the middle of the page, and you'll see a sentence. It's in boldface, and you can see the text has green highlighting around it. It's a paragraph that says "to the contrary" of the aforementioned
paragraph.
Can you see it on screen now?
This is Mikey. Nothing like that on page 24.
Okay, I see it on page 24 in Adobe Connect.
Yeah, I see it right now. I see it. It says the note. Is that the one you're talking about, Greg? Given the consistent debate?
It's a
paragraph, it's a comment, not an edit. So it's just very faintly highlighted.
It's very faintly highlighted in green is how I'm seeing it. Because it's new text, but it's not showing up. It's not showing up as a red line for some reason. So anyway, that's where it is. Anyway, let's see. Where were we?
Greg, you were talking about the UDRP sentence after the bold text.
Yeah, and what we're not saying is that what the UDRP does do is it says we have a registration issue, which is the registration of that string, which infringes potentially on a trademark. However, the UDRP does not. That's not the registration issue, and that's why it's not a, and that's why it's a policy. What the UDRP says, there we have some tests for bad faith. So UDRP does not regulate the use. It's regulating the registration issue. It's using a use issue as a test of bad faith. I think that this sentence here is perhaps not precise enough in drawing that important distinction. I think we also... we use that as an example somewhere else in the paper. We might have to wordsmith this. There are ICANN scope agreements where use of domains are listed, and especially with respect to contributory liability is concerned. What are the ICANN agreements where use of domains is listed?
One of the things that I had just come across was the latest advisory that's out for public comment, and it talks about the licensing of a domain to third parties and the use there. But again, if you'll allow, give me till the end of the day to take this section of the paragraph and get it reworded after the bolded text. I'll probably wind up, what I wound up doing was kind of stealing from some other comments made in this area, and I agree it does need to be cleaned up. If you'll allow me and give me to the end of the day to get this straightened out, and I'll push it out onto the list about modifying this paragraph so it's more concise and correct.
Okay. It's a big piece of text. I'll take the rest of today on that. Okay. Thanks, Barry. May I ask you about the contributory liability? Are you saying that that's in registration? Was that from that advisory, or was that from a contract?
My take on what I read from the advisory. But again, let me get this cleaned up, and I'll send it out on the list.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to share it with some of the people that I wanted to before posting it in this document.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take this one offline. Okay.
Greg, it's Margie. I just have a question for Barry. Barry, when you go back to the language, can you look specifically to the word contributory liability? Because from a legal standpoint, that has a specific meaning, and I'm pretty sure the contract and the advisory doesn't use that language. So I'd be really careful in when you revise it not to pick up that language. I think you're referring to the part that says that if you've licensed your agreement, your domain name to a third party, that you're liable for any damages caused by that domain name. So I would just be careful to pick whatever, be careful to pick the language specifically from the advisory or from the contract itself.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, so scrolling down, we see the
Greg, I just my hand. I'm not sure this is a minority view, and before we declare it a minority view, either can we vote on it or figure out if it's a minority view?
Well, we haven't voted on it, and that's kind of out the door. And it doesn't matter whether we vote on it or not, because this group doesn't decide the scope of ICANN's work. We discussed that before. I mean, what we're voting, what we're measuring consensus on are specific recommendations. And in some of those, we have sections where people are saying, we believe it's in scope or
right. Word minority, then.
Where does it say minority?
Well, you said that. You said that in the discussion.
I'm sorry. Just now?
Yeah, just now. You just a second ago said it was a minority view, and I'm just saying I don't agree with that.
I don't recall saying it, but minority. The term minority view wouldn't be relevant here anyway. Majority or minority. Okay, so anyway, if we can move on.
This is James. I was in the queue.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm looking at the... Go ahead.
Okay, so just wanted to put out there that, we should be very cautious about leaning on a draft advisory that is currently open for comment that could change. I just wanted to point that out, that that's very much an influx document, and, we don't want to steer comments that were received on that in one direction or another. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so anyway, moving on, in the cyber squatting section that contains the text we worked on and agreed to last week, and then around page 28, we have our laundry list of the issues that people brought up over the years. There are a few edits there. I don't think anybody had any particular issues until we get to reverse domain name hijacking. what we had done is we had some proposed text that's been slotted in. It is on page 28. Did anybody have any questions or comments about this bit?
Hey, Greg, this is Faisal. I mean, I just wanted to point out that the original draft was done by Barry. I then took a stab at it, and then Phil took another stab at it. I think, from what I can tell, I don't think Barry had an issue with the ultimate text. I don't have an issue with the ultimate text, but there was some text that was deleted from this. So I don't know if it's something you want to discuss as to putting back in or what you want to do, but...
I think what might be in here, and I'd have to go back and check, but I think what might be in here was Phil's version.
It's actually Phil's version editing my version, which I don't, like I said in my email, I don't have a problem with, but there was one paragraph that was in here below the last paragraph on 29. And I had deleted it, and then I think that's what got incorporated into this draft. So that paragraph isn't sitting in here.
Okay. What do you have that paragraph? Do you want us to take a look at that paragraph for inclusion?
Yeah, I have that paragraph. I don't know if you want me to put it in the chat.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I can. My system is just going up. Hold on. I can't seem to paste it in, so I'm going to have to send it via email or something to everybody.
Okay. Sometimes what's worked for me is if you paste it into Notepad first and then copy and paste that, sometimes it'll pick it up.
All right. Now both Fred and I are working on it, so this might take us a couple of days.
Okay, we'll give you a minute.
Maybe you could put it back in.
Okay, there we go. Okay. You want to read it off?
Kudos goes to Fred, by the way. All right, so the above issues suggest examination of VDRP policy and rules and how they are executed and whether those lead to results that are uniform and fair and are in keeping with the spirit and the letter of VDRP. This might include examination of dispute resolution provider practices, whether they should be contracted with ICANN, if or how supplemental rules providers use should be reviewed and how both the providers and ICANN can ensure uniformity and quality of decisions.
Okay, so you want to include that in favor
I actually had deleted it, and I didn't know if you wanted to. I mean, the group hadn't looked at it as whether it should come back in or not, so I just wanted to make sure that we were comfortable with that.
Okay. Yeah, because I think what we're doing is the reverse hijacking thing is the last thing on the laundry list, and it goes on for about a page or so. So I think what we could use here is basically a summary or wrap up after that laundry list, saying it involves a bunch of different things and different phases, not just the policy itself, but also how you execute it, basically. So I think what we were shooting for here was some sort of a summary paragraph. I think that could be useful to the readers. Just it's a question of what does it say.
I don't think it seemed to me as a summary of the RDNH, not a summary of the whole section, right?
Well, I think we were actually shooting for a summary of the whole section.
Okay. When you say are you talking about? I mean, I thought this was done by Phil. Is this something that passed by you? I mean, I guess I'm confused.
I can't remember who originally wrote it.
This was written by Phil Corwin, and it was done after, I mean, as edits to my document. So this was really only related to RDNH. If you're now telling me that you looked at it and it was something that related to an entire section, well, that's something I didn't. I didn't know.
Barry.
Uh huh.
So just to clarify, I had started out with a definition of reverse domain hijacking. As Faisal had mentioned, he took a stab at it and created a version, and then Phil created his version off of Faisal's version, and then I submitted both versions to the list. There wasn't any feedback at all from the group about which one or the other. And in my note, I had said that I kind of was leaning more towards Phil's version, and I believe only Phil's version was incorporated, and that didn't include this paragraph that Faisal is mentioning now.
Okay. All right. So as far as formatting, what the laundry list is a bulleted list, and the reverse hijacking is the last bullet on that list, so it's indented. So I think what we had was in a paragraph that's back in line with the rest of the text, not part of the bulleted list, and it basically said all the above issues suggest examination of the policy and the rules and how they're executed. And do you want to go with that language that was in the chat? As basically our summary of all the laundry list, and we just go ahead from there.
Greg, well, I guess I don't understand, because that section that comes below the reverse domain name hijacking section, there's a whole other section below that. So I mean, which does the exact same thing, which is summarizes again everything above. So I guess I'm confused as to what you're saying. Are you saying we're going to summarize it twice?
Well, let's see. What it says is basically this: the laundry list brings up the policy and the rules and their execution, and then it goes into a section about which begins. Some members of the RAPWG felt the UDFP is a useful mechanism, so that goes into the issues of the merits, such as actually a lot of it's about alternate dispute protection mechanisms, right? The next page is about that. So that seems to be a different topic. I think what the purpose of that paragraph, what it seems to be doing is to say there are issues not just with the policy, but also with the rules, how they're executed, brings up a bunch of different things. And then we go into the differences of opinion about the usefulness of the UDRP. So it's the paragraph that we're talking about is a factual statement that the above deals with several different things and drawing the reader's attention to that. Then there's discussion of various viewpoints.
Yeah, you know what, Greg? It's fine with me.
Okay. Okay, so is everybody okay putting that paragraph in that Faisal had pasted into the chat? Are there any objections? Okay. If not, we'll move on. Okay, then there's the section which discusses the WIPO comments. And this is beginning on page 30. And I had originally drafted this, and then there have been some edits to number 3. I was catching up with the comments over the weekend. Can you refresh my mind who made the latest edits to number 3?
That was me, Faisal.
Okay. Can you talk about your edits?
Yeah, you know, I reached out to WIPO, and in a discussion we had, I think they felt that they wanted at least their position was in connection with the initial report. I got some language from them, and I edited it, and I put it in here. It kind of reflects kind of where they're coming from.
So you went to WIPO?
Yeah, well, in discussions I've had on other stuff, the initial report came up, and we talked about it, and this is what, you know, the language that they wanted to see some kind of language as to what their position was in there, and I put it in there.
Okay, so you went to WIPO to discuss their public comment?
No, I went to WIPO to discuss, I was talking to WIPO in connection with other stuff, with other matters, and the initial initial draft came up, and this is what, they had comments about it, and I wanted to include it. So I wanted to include comments from WIPO, so that's correct.
All right. That raises, I think, some issues. We decided not to go to WIPO because, or any other public commenter. But anyway, let's see what your edits say. All right. WIPO's comments indicate that it was surprised that the UDRP mechanism itself was discussed in a report addressing registration authority conduct. This report isn't just about registration authority conduct. Cyber squatting is something that's perpetrated by registrants. And what I was trying to point out was that WIPO is saying that cyber squatting is contributed to by registrars and registries, and they should be somehow stop from doing that, or being held, or they should be held liable for it. Now, and what my point was, that's something which needs to be pointed out because it's pretty unusual. I think it's a whole new area. What they're bringing up is contributory infringement or liability. And my response to that is that's something very different than the current legal basis of the UDRP, which is that the registrants are responsible for their actions.
I guess, Greg, I'm confused. I think it only says they're surprised that the UDRP itself was discussing a report addressing registration authority conduct. I don't know what implications, you can draw a lot of implications from it, but whether they were surprised or not, if that's what their comments are.
I'm right, sure. And that's, I think, actually addressed in number two. They said, why is UDRP even being discussed by this working group? And number two says, well, because it's considered an ICANN consensus policy and it's to deal with cyber squatting. So are we reiterating that in number three? Is the point that you're trying to make that WIPO is questioning whether this should be discussed by the group, or a different point?
I think what they're saying is that they don't think that the UDRP is a mechanism. That this is about registration abuse, and again, this is not WIPO. And to some extent, they don't understand why. And I think the ultimate argument is that they can't understand why the UDRP is being opened up in connection with this registration abuse working group comments.
Right. Number two addresses that. Number three was about a new concept that WIPO introduced into the mix, which was,
right.
So I think maybe we should focus on that. Because number two, they asked, why is UDRP coming up? Why is it being discussed? And number two explains that and our group's rationale and how it was in scope. So number three is about a new concept that WIPO has introduced, which is that registrars and registries should be held accountable for contributory trademark infringement.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I see that in this, but...
Okay, well, what number three originally said was, WIPO's comments on the RAPWG frame cyber squatting not as an issue of registrant behavior, but as an issue of registrar and registry behavior. WIPO's position here and in its comments regarding the PDDRP. And my point there was saying this is something they've commented about and it's consistent, so we're not misunderstanding it. Their position is that registrars and registries should either police domain registrations for trademark infringement or bear liability for the actions of infringing registrants by being held accountable for contributory trademark infringement. So that's the new thing that WIPO is introducing. And then I said some members of the RAPWG, which I'm speaking for myself here, note that the legal basis of the UDRP is that registrants are responsible for their actions, and the WIPO's theory of contributory infringement by registrars or registries is without a basis in law. That is an opinion. So, if somebody wants to add an opinion to that to balance it, we can do that. Is there any interest in doing so? But what my purpose was in number three was to say there is a new thing that was brought up in the public comments. It has to do with who is responsible for cyber squatting and who should help deal with it. I see James's hand.
Yeah, Greg, James speaking, and maybe I'm missing the point of this section, but I've just wanted to comment that it seems unprecedented in the working groups that I've been in that we would give this much attention in the report to, you know, to something that was raised by a commenter that wasn't necessarily introduced by or discussed by the working group. So, I mean, are we saying now that, you know, through their comments, WIPO is a kind of a participant in this process? I'm just trying to get my mind around why we're devoting so much page space to what they're saying.
Hey, this is Fred. I think the problem, I think, James, you're right on is that there was some judgment of WIPO's comments occurring in this section, so maybe we should just drop this section where we're analyzing what they're saying.
I'd be happy to trim it down, number three. I'd be happy to trim it down.
That's fine with me.
All right, let me work on that. And James, what we're saying is this was a public comment, and it was a very interesting one. It brings up a new principle, which by the way, actually was not discussed by the group before, but it's coming from the public comments, and it's totally new concept. And when a new concept is raised, it's potentially that significant. It's worthwhile noting it in the report. Now, the extent to which we do so, and the extent to which we can even have any discussion, those are certainly other issues, as you point out. Okay, so we'll work on that one.
No, Greg, it falls within your responsibility as chair to get it included and you know, put a spotlight on it, and I think you did a good job with that. I just wanted to point out that we receive a lot of interesting and sometimes unusual and sometimes controversial or incendiary comments in a lot of the different working groups, and I don't know that it's always the best use of a group's resources to solve them all. You know, some of them, for example, are spam, and some of them are really out in left field, and I just think we need to kind of saw them off at some point and say, you know, there's really not a lot of benefit for the group to continue to chase this one down. I know that WIPO has some pretty strong opinions, and I don't know that they're going to align with what the group is set up to do. They have interests as well, and I think if they feel that the group, they feel very strongly about that, then they would send a representative to some of these groups.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Okay, anybody else?
Fred's in the queue.
Nope, his hand's down. Okay. Moving on then. We move through fake renewal notices. We have the new section on cross-TLD registration scam. I think we got everything in there as desired. Were there any questions or omissions about that?
Greg, this is Barry. So when I was reading through the red line, it looked like there was a lot that was edited out. And I was just curious about that.
Okay. There's some of what's out is description of the issue, because we move that up to the issue definition section and focus that. We also added some links and so forth to some examples in the background section. We focus on the fact that the practice may involve a WHOIS abuse, that the lists of registrants being obtained in spam, possibly in violation of WHOIS policies. That's one of those areas where That's a registration issue, and so that's called out. Now, what's then cut are these little bulleted things about what is ICANN's role, is it within scope? Those are now addressed up in the issues section above. Some of them, I did some wordsmithing here. Some of them just didn't seem terribly useful. There was a section about what action can law enforcement take, such as does the extent of the issue warrant law enforcement attention? I don't know, that didn't strike me as on point, because we don't decide what to do based upon what law enforcement might or might not do. I mean, it just didn't seem quite relevant. If there's anything that needs to be added back in, let's do it.
I'll refer my comments until I see a clean version of this. But I was just curious because, you know, something like the scope test section I thought was useful, at least in terms of trying to lay out the extent of this issue, as well as some of the other wording for describing exactly what was going on with the scam. But it's kind of hard to read with all the redlined right now.
Okay. All right. And one of the things that it said was in the scope test was, does the shakedown involve a trademark or brand? Which that one wouldn't be a gating factor necessarily. So anyway, yeah, take a look at it. See what we've got. Then we move through kiting. No changes there. Did we already go through gripe sites? We might have.
We haven't gone through that site.
Yeah, we want to go back and make sure we hit that.
Yeah.
Let me search for it. Hang on a sec. Okay, gripe sites is section 5.3. We don't want to miss that. It's around, let me look on Adobe Connect. That's on page 36. Okay, so let me turn it over to you.
Okay, so there were, I mean, I guess the only thing, I think I sent that email out. Again, I'm going back. I'm going to have an issue with pasting that comment or my recommendation into this window. I'm going to have to call on Fred again to do that. But I think it breaks down into three recommendations now. I think the first recommendation, like I said in my email, as it's set forth right now in this draft document, we have unanimous consent. I would think everybody's kind of on board with that. The second one would relate to deceptive names, and the third would relate to the offensive strain. And I think I provided a second recommendation, language for the second recommendation, which is the RIPM recommends further review and investigation as to whether the registration of deceptive domain names to mislead children to objectionable sites is a significant abuse problem and the most effective means to prevent registration of or promptly cancel such deceptive names. I think that was kind of language I had last time. I had to redo it. So that's my... I think those are the recommendations.
Okay. So was this in the note that you sent on Saturday?
Yeah, and I'm going to. I'm trying to figure out how to get that language in here. Here. It's fine. Hold on a second. I'm trying to get it onto the window. So that would be the second recommendation.
Okay. Do you have text that you can show us of all three recommendations?
Okay, so the first recommendation and the third recommendation are already set forth in the draft agreement, right? So we go back to it.
Okay.
I don't think there's any changes there. It's just whether or not there's a second recommendation for this whole thing.
Okay, so whether or not there's a second recommendation.
Right, so the first recommendation, which is make no recommendation, the majority of RPWC members expressed that bribe sites and offenses, actually, I should say, bribe sites, that these trademarks should be addressed in the context of Cyber Squad and UDIP for purposes of establishing consistent registration of use policies in this area and that creating special protections for the traffic of the offensive domain may present problems. You know what? I would say that the unanimous, I thought that what we had before was that the majority of RPWC members expressed that websites that use trademarks should be addressed in the context of Cyber Squad and UDFP for purposes of establishing consistent registration of use policies in this area. That was, I think, everybody is pretty much on board with that recommendation. The second recommendation would be the one that I presented, and then the third recommendation, which is recommendation on the two here, would be the two views that you have in front of us. Does that make sense?
I think I followed it. I think we were just running into a versioning challenge here.
Yeah, because, Greg, I think there's three different things going on, right? There's the bribe sites, the deceptive names, and the offensive string. And I think we finally got to the point where we had broken all three of those down.
Okay.
And so I guess maybe that's how we break it down, because I think we'll get unanimous consent on the bribe sites, and then maybe we'll kind of deviate on the other two.
Okay, well, let's see. Let me scroll down here. All right, so we have one about gripe sites. And then there was we had a second one about offensive strings. And then you're adding a third one, which is about deceptive domain names to mislead children to objectionable sites. All right, so our challenge is we didn't get into a discussion of that one, and we didn't get it into the poll.
Okay.
So that's the logistical challenge.
But, Greg, I actually brought that up last week, even before the poll. But, I mean, I understand it went out already, but...
Right. We never got to discuss including it in the report. All right. Let me think here. One thing we could do... is it's not online, but we could measure consensus just on the list on that second recommendation. Let me post that into the chat list again. It would be as follows. Let's, since some people have already filled out the online poll, let's just post this one up to the list. And you can then vote in favor or not in favor or provide an alternate view. All right, I've got it on my to-do list to post that up to the list.
Hey, yeah, Greg, and the other thing is, I mean, on the first recommendation, I mean, I haven't looked, I mean, I obviously haven't done the poll yet, but if you broke, I mean, I don't know if it's broken up, but if you were to break up that recommendation one, you might get unanimous consent. Oh, maybe I'm crazy. He basically said that Greg's site should be addressed in the context of cybersecurity and EDR people purpose establishment. You might get everybody to go along with that. I mean, I think everybody would.
Right, right. We've got a versioning issue on both of them now. Okay, let me go offline with Marika. On that one, but it would basically say gripe sites. Actually, didn't we have a conversation about how gripe sites could just be considered under the UDRP section of the report?
Yeah.
Right. And does that need to be polled on? Is that what we're doing?
Well, I thought, I mean, we have
that. That it should be kicked over. I mean, basically, we're saying, as far as gripe sites, our opinion is kick it over to the UDRP conversation.
Right. And you have a recommendation now, which I think is somewhat problematic.
Yeah. Okay. That. All right. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to kick both of those recommendations up the list so they're teased apart. All right. We'll pick that up then. Okay. All right. We'll take care of that. And folks will have to weigh in on that one again as soon as possible. Okay. But we'll clean that up. Okay, so anything else on that section, or are we good to go? Okay, looks like we're okay to move ahead then. So there really weren't any changes to tasting and kiting. There weren't any changes really to malicious use of domain names that I see. I don't think we had changes to uniformity of contracts. No changes to the meta issues section, which is number 9. We've got the public comments, and then we've got the conclusion section, which is at the end. And the conclusion section needs a little bit more work because Marika, again, is going to post the recommendations in order of levels of support received. And then basically the council will need to take a look at those and decide what to do with them. And then there's also a paragraph about the registration versus use issue, which I drafted. It basically says the report goes into detail regarding the topic. The community does not share a uniform understanding of these issues, and therefore there's disagreement, you know, about, you know, what ICANN's mission and the scope of consensus policymaking is. Those views are illustrated in the report. They cannot both be valid, and the council and the ICANN board may occasionally be called upon to make judgments about which view is correct. And I've stated it that way because they don't tend to make calls like not so much on an abstract concept, but when a specific case comes up that requires a judgment call. You know, it's like the Supreme Court of the United States doesn't make a call so much on a principle. They make the call on the principle when a specific instance requires it. So that's what this is trying to convey. And then that would be the end of the report. And we've got the supporting material in the appendices, and that is it. Is there anything else that needs work or that you would like to comment on? I'm basically making a last call on the document, with the exceptions we discussed today. Barry's going to be working on that bit about the registration and use material up near the top of the report. He's going to have that by the end of the day. We're going to work on that WIPO bit and trim that down. And then we're working on those two recommendations that Faisal put up, and those will be on the list. Were there any other bits that are still up for work, Barry?
Greg, this is Barry. Thank you. I just posted into the chat window kind of the changes to the text that we had talked about, where it was a little confusing about how we delineated what was in scope or wasn't in scope, and offered that up to the group. That hopefully makes it a little bit clearer. And the last sentence is just where it should be changed on pages 4 and 5 and page 21.
Okay, you want to read that out then?
Yes, the RAPWG attempted to make distinctions of abuse within the life cycle, such as pre-domain creation, domain creation, and post-creation. However, this exercise was not useful in determining policy scope, and as such, the RAPWG only made the distinction between registration and use.
Okay. This is Greg. I have a question. Okay, distinctions of abuse. What does distinctions of abuse mean?
We identified a bunch of various abuses, and with what we've done as the working group, some were considered registrations and some were considered uses. That's what I'm trying to convey there. Originally, we went down the road of, well, this is pre-registration, registration, post-registration, but we dropped that basically, and we just basically went delineating, well, this is within the realm of registration versus use. Right? And hence why we have like a malicious use domain recommendation versus all the others.
Maybe go back up to page 4 or 5 or page 21, which is the original part of the text. Read that last sentence and then read this one. And, you know, to me, the second one seems a little bit more clear with what we did as opposed to what we have listed there.
Okay, go back to pages 4 and 5. It's going to take me a minute to digest it myself. Should we continue to work on this on list?
Sure, I can post it up to the list. I'll post the original text and then the revised text. I think ultimately it's still really saying the same thing. It's just trying to make it a little bit clearer that we didn't go down the road of delineating between actual, you know, pre-domain creation, domain creation, and post-creation. We really just kind of created two buckets. It's either registration or use.
Okay. All right, so that's what you're shooting for. Okay, got it. All right, let's work on it on the list. There are a few phrases in there that are kind of throwing me, but let's work together on that and we'll figure it out. Okay, so there's that bit. There's the WIPO bit is. And then there are those two recommendations that Faisal has posted. Is there any other text that needs work? Okay. Going once, going twice, going three times. So other than those bits, which we'll try to wrap up in the next day, the text of the report is now closed. So what we need to do in the next day is make sure everybody fills out the poll. I'm going to touch base with Marika. She'll determine who hasn't filled out the poll yet. We'll send them a reminder. Then later in the week, she'll have a list of who polled which way on all the comments. We'll need to work on those two recommendations that Faisal posted to make sure we've got everybody's names reflected correctly. Marika will issue a revised version, and that'll have the results of the poll and so forth on there. Hopefully, we'll have that done no later than Wednesday. That'll give us a couple of time just to make sure that we've got all the names listed properly. And assuming no issues and everybody will need to review it, but assuming no issues, then the report will be done. So those are the next steps. I'll put that list of steps up to the list. And then what would happen is the council gets this in advance of Brussels as planned. They have to read it. And there's going to be a council slot on Sunday of the ICANN meeting. And it's scheduled for 30 minutes right now. And it's for us to present the report and the recommendations. So it's only 30 minutes, unfortunately. But what we'll have to do is create a PowerPoint like we did last time, basically. So Marika will basically extract the recommendations, put them into some slides. We'll prepare that for the meeting. So anybody who's going to be in Brussels, reserve that time on your calendar. Please come if you can make it. And then I'm imagining that then the council will get our update, and then they'll have to take this offline. And in Brussels and maybe meetings afterwards, they'll comb through each of these recommendations, debate them, and decide what they would like to do. So I'm guessing that Brussels isn't the end of the line, but they'll have to do some additional meetings, and we'll, you know, you can track those by looking at the GNSO website. So, as far as I know, now that we're done with the text, there wouldn't be a need for an additional call next week. And that's assuming we are on schedule for publishing this Friday. So I guess our next get-together would be that Sunday meeting of the council. And then, of course, we definitely want to raise a glass to each other in Brussels. So we'll figure out on the list a time when we can get together and maybe not conflict with all the other meetings and celebrations going on. But I did promise you guys I would buy the first round of drinks. I'm looking forward to that because we've been meeting for 15 months, and during that time produced a very nuanced report. I think also a lot of what we did was in the best spirit of these working groups, which is, you know, debating issues, you know, talking about the merits, doing it in a collegial fashion. And I really want to thank everybody for the spirit in which you've participated. This is a lot of work. We had a lot of meetings, and you guys stuck with it because you thought it was worthwhile. And I'm sure that these recommendations are going to be considered very, very closely by the council, and I'm hoping that some good stuff comes out of it. So from the bottom of my heart, thanks, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of you in Brussels. So take care, and we'll continue to talk until then.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks.
Excellent work.
Bye,
guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay, you guys take care. We'll talk on the list. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care.